We just would welcome those who are here for the first time this week. I see some new faces. Our theme has been unity, and this is now our fourth session in the week. We just want to make one more point that if you have any questions, we were planning or we had discussed having a box, but we do not have a box, as you can see. But if you do have questions, you can write them down on a piece of paper, and you can pass them over to Brother Mark, and he will accumulate the questions, and he's assigned to answer the questions. So if you have any questions, give it to Brother Mark. But this afternoon, our brother Steve Campbell is going to lead us in our sessions, and we really would encourage all the brothers to really be ready to participate. We realize that that is an important feature of this particular meeting. So we'd encourage you to stay tuned and be willing to participate.
So that's a great way to start. Always it's a good way to start any meeting by singing. Christians are singing people, and that's really wonderful. Sounded really good. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 3. We ended yesterday in Colossians chapter 3, and we'll read a portion of what we read yesterday and then a little bit further as a little introduction to what we'll consider today. So let's read the passage, and then I'll try to set out what our desires are, our goals are for today, and then we'll look at some scriptures which will help us open up that subject. Could somebody read, please, verses 10 through 13, Colossians 3, 10 through 13, and then someone else, 14 through 17. Just pick up right after the first reader ends. All right, 10 through 13, and then 14 through 17, please.
Colossians 3, verses 10 to 13. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
Of
the same chapter?
Yes, thank you.
And to all these add love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of Christ preside in your hearts, to which also you have been called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of the Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. And everything, whatever ye may do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him.
Very good, thank you. So as a way to bring us up to where we are going to go today, we'll just look back a little bit at what has been considered. In the beginning of the subject, the presentation was about the problem of unity, which really is the existence of disunity. How did our world get to be this splintered, factious, divided state where everybody has sort of their in-group and most are the out-group, and people are, they group themselves, and culture and the world groups ourselves, group us, attempt to group us according to all different kinds of factors and declarations about who we are. So there's this problem of unity, and the source of that was explored. And then the prescription for unity was on the second day, which was Tuesday, and that really set out the fact that there is disunity, but the fact that God's solution is different. We didn't really have too much on Tuesday of God's direction about what to do about it, but his exposure of the root causes a little further, and the fact that he has a different kind of solution. There are some bad prescriptions, and then there is God's prescription. Then yesterday, the great solution that God has presented for unity of believers is that we are in Christ. We are identified with Him. We also are associated with Him. And we saw many different valuable points about how if we think correctly, this was one of the big themes of yesterday, if we think correctly about who we are and who other believers are, we will then be able to avoid bringing in to the church, bringing into relationships among believers, bringing in those same bad habits of disunity. And yet still in reality, we recognize that we do have these tendencies. These are the easy ways to function. The easy way to function is to apply the divisive kind of reasoning, divisive kind of rhetoric that we find in the world, and we sort of fall into it more easily than applying God's solution. But today we want to look at how the New Testament provides for us these specific types of biases, specific types of circumstances where different people are put together and yet there's unity, or that there could be unity. And so we're going to address that. So if we look at Colossians chapter 3, what we ended with yesterday was this passage ending with verse 11, where the past is indeed the past, has been put off, and there is a new self in verse 10 that is renewed according to the image of Him who created him. And in this new condition of things, all these different types of divisive characteristics are overcome. Neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. Christ is all and in all. So let's build on this a little bit. I'd like to hear from you what you observe in that verse as it links with verses 12 through 17. We're just going to find, first of all, some statements that help us to see that unity is the goal. Because it's one thing to think correctly about one another, right? I think correctly about you. You think correctly about me. We each think correctly about ourselves, being in Christ. But by itself, that doesn't bring us together if we don't recognize the impact of that. Because we might say, well, sure, I'm in Christ, you're in Christ, you live your life in Christ over there, and I'll live my life in Christ over here. That's not what the Scripture is teaching us. Obviously, it's not what the doctrine is, but we have some specific help in verses 12 through 17. So I'm just going to pause, and let's just sort of make a few remarks about this opening passage here. What are some things that we can identify that show us that God's intention is a community of believers, not only Christians on equal footing, which is very significant, but also Christians on equal footing, equal ground, equal standing together. So I'll leave that to you to develop a little bit.
All of the language in this passage is one another, each other, your, it's all plural.
Good. So give us one of those one another's. How would that look in practice?
Yep. Put on then as God's chosen ones, compassionate hearts. Do you want me to explain what a compassionate
keep going.
Heart is?
So what's that going to do for us?
Yeah, so when we look at each other, we should feel for each other. Hmm. And that should work its way out in action.
Good. Who else can add to that?